her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard it.
Well, they said it was going to happen.
What's that?
It's like, you know, when your parents used to threaten a punishment and you were like, they're never going to follow through with that.
Don't make me turn this car around.
Like, okay.
The bellowing.
Yeah, exactly.
We're in St. Louis. Yeah, you're going to turn this thing around and go back.
What are we talking about?
Green Bay Packers.
Oh.
Dropping the hammer. Oh, laying before. Down the law, Chew.
Oh, yeah.
Following through, if you will, something you...
Before we get there, I don't think I've ever laughed as hard in my life as I did yesterday. And you all know what I'm talking about.
The emails we get provide the you endless email. Entertainment.
I had no idea you could do drugs at work. Or you're not supposed to.
Again, you can't. So follow through and dropping the hammer and whatnot as well.
That was shocking.
Yes, yes, yes. I how much are we revealing here, gang? I don't know what the protocol is on this.
I mean, are there some things...
I mean, we
like
had...
That need to be...
So that
it's
we had,
Costanza, right?
Yeah, we had an email drop in our inbox yesterday from Greg Scalzo, our market manager here at GKB Milwaukee, that just was said, reminder, subject line, reminder. Team, happy Monday. It was Thursday, but whatever, Scals.
Maybe he meant to send it on Monday and he forgot.
The Avenue office and GKB offices are a drug-free work environment. This includes any CBD, Delta-9, THC products, including vape pens, THC, or any of the tangential products now on the market. Do what you do at home, but please do not bring it into the office.
That, to me, is hilarious. It's like the Seinfeld. You had sex at work. Was that wrong?
Who told
Should
you that?
Should I not have done that? Because I got to plead ignorance here.
Well, now you know. Now that's why the email was sent.
People need to be told that they can't do drugs at work. That's amazing to me. What else can't you do at work?
I don't think we want to find out, do
Excuse
we?
Excuse me, you have to wear clothes at work. I mean, how... This tickled me.
I thought it was for you.
No. I wish to, you know, I'd fall on the sword for someone, though.
No, you wouldn't.
Because I asked Josh, I'm like, how many producers are there?
Like.
Seven?
For all the stations?
Yes.
No, there's more than seven.
10.
Yeah, probably in that ballpark.
You know who I blame? Will.
What?
Because he's the least likely. Right? It's one of those, like, no way.
Yeah, I don't think part-time Will would be...
But, I mean, if you wanted to bet, and you guys are all addicted, well, you two are, put the pictures up and go, huh, I'm going here. I'll put $40 on Joe Schlunk. No? Just getting uncomfortable.
I'd give you $40 if you could name a producer other than Joshy and Chris Larson.
Oh, you had to take a lot of shit out. Yeah, I'm out.
No, you're not. Come on.
No, you stop. I don't
well,
have to come
Ashton,
on. 40
is Ashton
bucks?
Still?
Well, he's, no. he's an executive. No.
Another
so no.
producer?
Show producer. Don't help him.
Eric.
Wrong. Thank you.
All right. Think the last email that you were entertained by.
I just
by.
Want to put it out there that the contest is over.
Think about the last email you were entertained by and felt the need... And I would say that this was an appropriate reply all to an email.
Oh, I didn't look at that.
Hey, what? He's not following your breadcrumbs,
no, I'm not.
Bud.
Okay, so.
No, I can't name TMJ. What's correct? Richie Pounds? He's my guy.
There he is.
Richie Pounds is a producer?
Yes.
Love him. Never met him. Could walk in here right now, wouldn't even know who it was.
I believe he's here as we speak.
Is he? He's the best. I love him.
He's a producer.
Yes.
You replied all because you
Richie
said you
Pounds.
Loved his name.
All right. That's it. Who produces Vinny's show?
Greg Hill.
Who you also know. You see
a lot
him,
of emails. A lot of emails. At least one a day.
Chewy power yeah. ranks the producers by how frequently they pollute his inbox.
Yes. I mean, it's kind of the same names. I understand that's probably part of their job. Steinmuller, Steam Cooler, Stein, Steinman.
I don't even know who he's referring to.
Birthdays.
Oh, yeah. She's.
What's her name?
I mean, I'm not going to put her entire name, but Amy, okay. Yes. Amy is.
No idea.
Somebody you would get.
She's like the administrator. She's
yes.
Handles okay. All the business we need to. For all the people who come to work and spend a full day here, the information she shares is pretty relevant.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Oh, that had a tinge of disdain.
Jesse's a producer. Does he ever come here?
He is a producer for Madison. That's
why do
correct.
I need Madison content?
Whole
tell me why.
Disdain.
Why do it? You know, I think my complaining got rid of the weather emails because I don't get those anymore.
No one gets them.
Good. I don't need to know the content in Madison. I really don't.
In interest of having good communication between the two of the three stations that make up ESPN Wisconsin, they share their content schedule with content teammates here.
Well, I should be able to unsubscribe.
No, you're in the ESPN, you're in the Milwaukee content group, so you're going to be a part of that.
I don't want to be.
Just hit delete. What do you care?
That's okay.
Let me try to get this sucker back on the tracks.
Yes.
If you break a rule, Chewy, do you believe in punishment? Do you believe that you should be punished or penalized for the infraction?
I'm a proponent of I didn't know. So you should get like one I didn't know.
And then it wasn't me.
Yeah,
Shaggy.
I was about to say, yeah, then you go to Shaggy defense. Wasn't me.
Don't you think you should get one I don't know?
Well, maybe. In regards to the Packers situation that we were referring to earlier, apparently the people who broke the law, broke the rule, did get an opportunity to explain themselves. What am I talking about? We talked when it was announced that the Packers were going to revoke tickets from season ticket holders who had sold 100% of their seats for multiple years. Well, TMJ4 tracked down one of those people who had been selling their tickets for multiple years and who had their season tickets revoked. And now, this gentleman says he got the opportunity to explain himself. Sent a letter out saying, my parents were ailing, we were taking care of them, they were getting up there in age, and we weren't able to make it to the games. Which seems like a pretty reasonable explanation for not being able to go to NFL football games, no matter where they're being held, Gabe. But the Packers still said no. And the Packers continued to revoke their season tickets. Your reaction to the Packers, as I said, laying down the hammer here.
I don't know if they gave any warning to anyone other than in February. I guess if you haven't been to a game in 4 years, you couldn't manage to go to a single game in 4 years. Or at least just because you can get around this if you just give away your tickets. Like, if you give your tickets to a family member, like, that's, I mean, obviously the Packers would know because it's a digital ticket and they know whose account scans it in. But if you've been selling your tickets on Ticketmaster for 4 straight years, they also know that. If you just give your tickets to somebody else, my guess is they would have looked the other way. But because you sold them for 4 straight years on Ticketmaster,
yeah,
that's probably why they ultimately revoked the tickets for this family who apparently lives in Nevada. And has not been able to make it back for games.
I mean, one game in 4 years. That's the criteria you have to meet. Come on.
I mean, to be honest with you, there are so many things I don't know that would sway my decision on this. One, to your point, Gabe, how much warning was given? 2 years ago, when they started to see that a lot of the tickets were going to people out of state, that unfortunately there were opposing fans sitting in Lambeau Field, taking away from the home field advantage, did they send emails then? Was there some notification saying, hey, we're not there yet, but we're close to doing this, just mind your P's and Q's and maybe get your affairs in order? Or was it the first time people became aware of it in February when the season had already passed and there was nothing you could do about it and, oh, now you're, you know, in the crosshairs? Now, I like the idea that they did allow each of these people who had their tickets revoked to explain themselves. Give us extenuating circumstances. Why were you selling your tickets so consistently? I don't advise saying cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. I don't advise that as a defense. But I do think that if you had some extenuating circumstances, if there was something legitimately going on, too, it feels like they should have listened to that.
For 4 years? That's kind of a long time.
Yeah.
4 years, one game, all you got to go to?
Aaron Rodgers was still the quarterback four years ago.
I think I'm siding with Green Bay, with the Pack. I mean, essentially, they can do whatever they want, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, because they are.
Yeah.
God, I'm trying to think of an extenuating circumstance that would be okay.
But I'm saying this gentleman said that both of his parents were ailing. He was taking care of them. I don't think the Packers are going back for medical records and saying, well, when did they actually check into hospice? When did they actually pass away? Like, I don't think they're going to those lengths. But if you're both of your elderly parents ailing and you live in Nevada, isn't reason enough to be missing Packers games? My question to you is, what is? What would some of the extenuating circumstances that the Packers would then allow and rescind the tickets be?
Well, if you live in Nevada, how many games are you coming back for anyway? You know, and I think my guess is that probably factored into the decision. Like, well, okay, you've been selling these for a while. You don't live in state. And it's not like you live in Iowa or Illinois or Minnesota and it's just a state over. No, you're a couple time zones away and it's a flight to get here. So how much are you actually going to be continuing to sell these tickets versus give them away now that you, again, now that you've been hit with this? Oh, yeah, we can give them to family members if that's what you want. Well, it's pretty clear that you could have done that before and you decided to sell them straight up on Ticketmaster.
I'll take it one step further. Is it important that when something like this goes into effect, that there are quote unquote sacrificial lambs, that there are people who actually have their tickets taken away to make sure that the message gets out there? If the Packers say we're going to take tickets away from people who have been selling them for 4 years or more, you haven't been to a single game, and then everyone who submits an excuse, a rationalization, gets their tickets back, feels a little like an empty threat. I feel like the Packers needed to make sure that there were at least some people who broke the rule and were punished for it.
And they had mentioned when they released this policy or let everybody know publicly back in February that, yeah, this is probably only going to affect less than 1% of the 40,000 season ticket holders that we have.
But if you know this going in, it's kind of like joining a country club, right? Well, you have a minimum every month in the wintertime to, you know, to keep the restaurant afloat. You know that going in.
Yeah.
You can't use that, well, I couldn't get there, you know, because you're getting charged regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You know it going in. So I guess I'm siding with the Packers.
The one thing I will point to is affordability is a big part here. And when we saw this come out back when it did, this notification was the red herring to the we are raising ticket prices once again. I think it would be a lot more feasible and realistic for many people to give those tickets to family members or people they know if it wasn't so damn expensive to go to a game, pay for concessions, do all that's involved. Now, there is a level of this is a privilege to attend. We don't have to guarantee you it, but when you keep raising prices year after year after year to these people who've had tickets for 40 plus years, it becomes less and less affordable, especially as you get older and your income becomes, you know, a limited amount.
Fixed.
Yes. So there is sort of a chicken and egg portion here where, well, yeah, I would prefer you not sell your tickets 4 years in a row. That is a pretty easy thing to get around.
You just have to go to a game.
A game.
But
yeah,
there is also the fact of, if I'm going to keep these, it becomes less and less realistic for me to go out of my way to attend the game.
Well, then if you live in Nevada, why do you have the tickets? As a money-making venture?
I guarantee they're not selling them for face value.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So this is now a money-making venture for you? That's why you own the tickets?
I'm not siding with this person. I'm just telling you.
I'm just asking. Like, if you live out of state and things are more and more expensive, yeah, you want to mitigate those costs, I understand. But, like, shouldn't you be able to, over the course of 4 years?
I'm sure in this fella's mind, as we read the story, his idea was, I'd probably go back to a game or two a season.
Well, and he would only have, again, so it seems like they have the gold package.
Yes.
So they only have typically two tickets
right,
anyway.
You have limited
which,
amount.
To be honest with you guys, that should change the parameters. Like, if you have a full slate of home games, right? You got right. eight of them and you go to zero, right? Versus if you have two and you go to zero. To me, that changes the expectation a little bit.
You mean
bit.
Between the Green Bay package and the Milwaukee
Correct.
Package? I would agree with that.
Right. You have less time to go there. There are circumstances in life that, I mean, this guy's dad had cancer and mom had dementia. Like, I understand that he wasn't going out of his way to take a weekend to go to Green Bay from wherever he was living. There is an aspect of that where I do sympathize with that type of person. That's not the easiest thing to do when your life is in that situation.
800-990-3776. I think it's an interesting conversation. I don't know how I would feel if this were me. This guy says he's probably not going to root for the Packers anymore. Says he's been so hurt and affected by this. They hurt me. They hurt my family. I'm going to try to not be a Packers fan. Now you can make the argument, well, if you're going
to... That ain't going to work. It's easy not to like them when they suck.
But what I'm saying is...
That's a foreign... I'm out.
But what I'm saying is you weren't as locked in as you're professing to be when you're making the appeal to keep your tickets, right? If it's so easy for you to toss in your fan base, right, to cash in your fandom, maybe you actually weren't a big fan. I just think it's a fascinating concept. I also think that, like, you have assets. I have assets. We talked about this when the story first broke. What right do the Packers have to then rescind my assets? Whoa.
Right. Assets. But who says, how come the Packers can make money but I can't? Where's that rule? What does that mean?
Well, because the seat doesn't belong to you.
It you're doesn't leasing, what you're renting, leasing, but I already paid for it.
But you're leasing the seat. Yeah. But, and now they can prevent you from it, right? It's like if you were to do a sublease on the place you live at, Joshy, and somebody finds out that you're making more money, the owner of the property goes, oh, I'm not comfortable with you making that type of money. When our lease agreement ends, I'm not renewing your lease agreement.
Or exactly, like an Airbnb. If you're Airbnb in your apartment, all of a sudden the landlord's like, hey, man, you can't Airbnb the apartment. When we made the arrangement, my expectation was that you would be staying here full time. And now you're giving it out to these, other people, party goers, whatever it may be. They have the right to say no.
It's like a country club. You know, hey, we're raising your dues next year by $300. Oh, I'm not doing that. Well, then leave.
All right.
Then see you later.
I want to stress that the most favorable comparison we can come up with for the Packers is landlords. The community-owned, community-based organization that only exists because we paid for them and kept them afloat, they are the landlords. They are not going to benefit their fans in any way. That's the best we have for them. Because to me, sounds a lot like somebody, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys, who are going to nickel and dime you. They're all in it for profit.
Yeah.
If that's who we want to compare it to, then okay, I will cede that. We are no different than anyone else, and we have no benefits being Green Bay Packers and community-owned team.
No, but, I mean, that's 100% true.
Yeah,
I guess what you just said. Like,
I want to reiterate that fact.
Yeah, like that's just the fact of the situation.
It is in name only.
That's what happens when you have 70,000 people on a waiting list. Like, oh, you don't like it? Tough you-know-what. Next! Who wants it?
We got a long list. 800-990-3776. Reaction rolling in. That's 76. It's a Friday, but still got to make sure we say 6 when we give the number out. Jason Wilde's going to join the show next. Stick around.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, you know what I'm going to say. Chewy and I talk about it all the time. It's the Jewelry Center. It's the only place to go in Milwaukee. And it's the best place for a reason. Not only do they have plenty of options, whether you're looking for a lab-grown diamond or a naturally mined diamond, but they've got a great team that's always going to point you in the right direction to make sure that that dream ring becomes a reality. It's what I did. Of course, that was the only place I was ever going to go and trust Dean and the team that he has put together at the Jewelry Center. But maybe you don't have an idea of what that ring should look like. Go to our Pinterest page, bring those in, and that helpful team at the Jewelry Center always going to help you out. Check them out. 3 locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Shop TJC.com. And when you go to the Jewelry Center, you make sure that tell them that Gabe and Chu sent you.
Ready? Down! Put!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Very interested to see what Jason Wilde thinks about this latest development with the Green Bay Packers. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
We are good. We have been talking about the fan who spoke to TMJ4 saying that the Green Bay Packers, as promised, rescinded his family's tickets, revoked their tickets. He lives in Nevada. His father had cancer. His mother had dementia. He explained all of that in an appeal letter to the Green Bay Packers, and yet they continued to revoke the tickets. And so we were just having sort of a philosophical debate about, you know, a family-owned team, and they're supposed to be family, 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 and, you know, when this gentleman gave the explanation for why he had been missing it, they still said, oh, sorry, we're taking them. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not siding with either side here. I'm still just gathering the facts. What is your reaction to this development, which we kind of knew was going to happen?
Yeah, I don't, is there an actual debate here? Like, obviously, this guy got exactly what he deserved. I mean, this is what happens. Hey, we need to improve our home field advantage, and I'm sorry that your parents were ill, but we're letting in too many opposing fans, so we're taking away your tickets.
I hear it, Jason. I hear it.
Yeah.
What do we call it, Toshi? A touch of disdain?
Yes.
Yeah, look, I understand that they are a business. I understand that Mark Murphy has been incredibly successful on the business side during his presidency, which is about to come to an end. I understand that there is a problem with ticket holders that own those tickets solely for the purpose of reselling them. Now, again, my grandparents bought season tickets at State Fair Park in Milwaukee in the 1940s to help keep that organization afloat. I used to sit behind home plate growing up at County Stadium. So I'm not just high horse beat writer guy who doesn't have to pay for tickets because he gets in free to go to work, preaching like I'm some sort of expert. I have been there. I have purchased stock for my father in 1997. So I want to make sure people understand where I'm coming from here. I understand all of those things. I read that story, and especially irritating to me anyway, was the form letter that the guy received back. We have gone from Bob Harlan answering his own damn phone to sending form letters to people who send in their appeal of a policy that is not designed to get rid of that guy. Now, again, there are some details in there that as a reporter I would like to know. Like, so he's been reselling on Ticketmaster, right? So, A, that is what is allowing the Packers to do this. Like, he's using the platform that the Packers want you to use.
Correct. He's following the rules.
To resell your tickets. So they could get a second cut of the same tickets, by the way. Right? That is part of it. So he's doing it that way. He does not have control over who buys his tickets using it that way. Like my buddy Kyle Cousineau here in town, he's like match.com for Packers fans who are trying to sell their tickets and want to make sure that another Packers fan gets them. You can't do that through the Packers and Ticketmaster's own platform. So don't give me the form letter response when the guy is doing it exactly the way you want. So you can take more money on tickets you've already sold once. Okay. But my biggest frustration with this organization, and again, this is why I wanted to share my credentials having grown up in a Packers family. Now, look, I don't know what my brother does with the tickets. I don't have them. I don't need them. I don't want them. I mean, I could see him selling all the tickets each year and getting one of these letters too. I don't know how often he goes to games. But the bottom line to me is you love, and I have said this to Mark Murphy's face, if I have a sit down with Ed Policy when he takes over, I would say the same thing to him, and I would share my history with the organization. You love the narrative. We're owned by the fans. We're the only community-owned team in all of American professional sports. Then you know what? Freaking act like it once in a while. They just don't.
Yeah,
it is a total fraud. And I'm sorry. I am not being anti-capitalism. I'm not being anti-profits. But they're up here trying to get out of paying taxes to the city of Green Bay. If my house starts on fire, I want the fire department to have enough money to freaking show up here. So just live your narrative, right? That I just want authenticity. And this appears, and again, maybe there are, you know, maybe this guy is altering his story slightly to make it sound more like a story where you will feel sorry for him. I don't know. I didn't do the reporting on it. But at every turn, it feels like that this team really likes the narrative of being all about the fans, and we've got the greatest fans and our community. You saw what they did for the draft. I mean, I'll tell you this. Had Wisconsin people and Packers fans not shown up the way they did, this draft would have been a failure, because there sure as hell weren't thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people flooding Austin Straubel Airport to come to the draft. So I'll step off my soapbox now.
Jason, player more likely to hold out till they get a contract, Zach Tom or Elgton Jenkins?
Good question. I would think it has to be Elgton Jenkins. Now, again, I have not talked to Elgton at all. I did appreciate seeing this reported by someone else, so the people who claimed I was making it up to create drama had to, maybe they didn't acknowledge that they were wrong, but they certainly were wrong. Again, that situation to me feels like such an easy thing to resolve, since the general manager came out and said that he believes Elgton Jenkins is an all-pro center. Guarantee existing money. You don't have to give him any new money. Give him the security for the next 2 years of his contract. Add some voidable years to spread out the cap charge. Create some cap space for yourself. And give him the security he's looking for on an offensive line where only the new free agent guy they signed to play left guard, Aaron Banks, and Elgton Jenkins were not mentioned as having their jobs open for competition. The right tackle, the left tackle, and the right guard all do. Those three also happen to be in the last years of their contracts. So I don't know if Zach Tom has the leverage to hold out. Again, I mean, if I was Elgton, and he has not asked for my opinion, I would say if you want to start the season with Jacob Monk as your starting center, like Morgan Freeman says to the guy that wants to blackmail Bruce Wayne for being Batman, your boss is a vigilante who beats up bad guys, I'm paraphrasing, and you want to blackmail this man? Good luck. You want to start the season with Jacob Monk instead of me after you've predicated your entire offensive line shuffle on me being your center? Good luck.
Quick follow-up on that before we get to Gabe's question. I have been thinking about this a lot in the last 48 hours, and I mean that sincerely. The Packers value versatility on the offensive line. They love to have these guys who can move from one spot to another. The problem is, as we have discussed, there's a different pay scale at the positions. So now you're rewarding a guy for his versatility and his ability to move from one spot to another, but not really rewarding him because you're taking money out of his pocket. I've been struggling to figure out what the happy medium is here. Should the Packers pay the same amount across the board if the expectation is for guys to be able to move seamlessly from position to position, Jason? Because that would go against the NFL's structure for the pay scale at those positions, right?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't get the feeling that Elgton is doing this because he's moving to center and centers get paid less. I get the feeling that this is happening, and that may be a secondary reason, or that may be part of what they've presented in their conversations with Russ Ball. But I think it's simpler than that. I got 2 years left on my deal. There is no guaranteed money left, and I have a really high cap number in 2026, and I'll have turned 30 years old the day after Christmas this year. And you guys don't like 30-year-olds, and you don't like a third contract. So guarantee some of the existing money so I know where I'm going to be the next 2 years. And then if you guys decide to move on after that, at least I don't want to go into this season not knowing
what my future is with this team. And I think that's a reasonable ask for a guy that's been to two Pro Bowls, that it has been called an All-Pro by his general manager. I don't think he's necessarily thinking of it as, oh, I need to get mine now before I'm considered a center and I get paid less. I don't think that that's the way he's viewing it. To your point, though, that is they preach it all the time, almost as often as they talk about how they're owned by the fans, that they want versatility on the offensive line. And you're right. The pay scale is different for different spots, but they've sent a very clear message. They're definitely not paying their starting left tackle. I mean, could they be more clear? Hey, just keep grinding, Rashid. We appreciate you eating up all these starts and being a serviceable, solid left tackle. We're just going to spend every single season trying to replace you.
How far do you think Elton's willing to go?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because it's one thing. It's one thing just to miss the OTAs and offseason. You know, like, could this stretch out to training camp? Because then it gets more serious.
Yeah, you're right, Gabe. I don't know. I really don't. Because at what point do you have to say, all right, because training camp, you also start getting fined, right? I mean, you don't get fined.
I would assume he would show up and much like TJ Watt did a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
He's there, but, oh, yeah, oh, man, my knee's a little stiff
today. Jordan Love did.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, like Jordan Love did. Let people forget that, right, because he got his $55 million. So, yeah, I would think he would do that too, but at the same time, I just would be curious what his strategy is and what feedback he's gotten back from the team. Like, you know, he has not gone Trey Hendrickson, right? Like he's not out there bashing the team. I mean, the guy went on the tailgate tour last year. What I would, if I was him, I would say, look, I've done everything you guys have asked, right? I've been a top flight player. But again, the other part of this, and I use Tausch as the example, like Tausch tore his ACL twice. He did it in contract years both times. Now, I make this joke, but there's a little bit of truth in it. I'm glad he did, because had he not, he would have made so much money as such a top-flight right tackle. He wouldn't need our show. He'd be doing something else, right? He'd have made it so much money, he wouldn't need to work.
Imagine how big the pickler would be.
Oh, no kidding. Hey, at least I got my membership. But Elton Jenkins tore his ACL in Minnesota a few years ago. Like, that's another reason why, and I always, the other example I always use is Nick Collins, who, you know, and I love his agents. They are still convinced that I helped both Nick and Ryan Grant get their contracts by being a vocal critic of the team. I don't think I hold that much sway, but I'm glad that they view it that way. But Nick Collins skips the off-season program because he wants a new long-term deal. It works. He gets it. They breaks his neck. And his life would be he's coaching at Bethune-Cookman. He's happy. He's got a great life now. But that was a life-changing contract to have that security and that guaranteed money included. And he got it because he held out in the off-season. You know, I always tell the story about Mike McCarthy berating me. Jen, you might have been there for Fox 6 at the time. It was his first year. Al Harris doesn't come to the offseason program because he wants the contract extension and more guaranteed money. McCarthy's all pissed off about it, pulls me aside after the sideline presser, wants to know who my source is. I'm like, Mike, I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. And because the source was Al Harris. So I these guys don't have much leverage. And in Elton's case, this is the only time he's going to have even better leverage, which is not only withholding his services, but they've predicated their line shift on him being the center. So I would say he has to take this as far as he can in hopes of getting what he needs.
Jason, it's not sexy talking about the offensive line, but it is obviously significant, so we appreciate your insight. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Wilde and Tausch is right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Your next best round of golf, well, it's going to happen for you at the Wisconsin Country Club if you do what I did and join out there. There's no assessments, no food and beverage minimums, and a beautiful course that's fun and challenging. I was just out there yesterday using the range, played 9 holes at my leisure. It's fantastic. And honestly, one of the cool parts, a little turn bar we've got between 9 and 10. Great place for a drink, either during the round or right after the round. Tree-lined fairways, specially groomed greens, and a top 100 teaching pro. Plus, the Wisconsin Country Club has tennis and pickleball courts as well, and a pool with themed Sunday fun days every week. So get started today. Join like I did by visiting thewisconsincountryclub.com for membership info. The Wisconsin Country Club, just a fairway away.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Counsell in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
Craig Karmazin coming to us from New York. Good morning, Craig.
Morning. Wow, full house in Milwaukee. I can't believe I'm not there.
I thought you might be here as well, but sounds like you got some business to attend to. All right, we'll start today with Dealer's Choice. What are you hot on today?
Well, I'll be at the Knicks-Celtics game 6, so I'll be watching Chewy-Celtics. Hopefully their season come to a close. So,
isn't that
NBA
cheating?
On the Bucks, you're
yeah.
saying?
A little bit, huh?
No. The NBA has just been so incredible.
You can't go to other games?
Yeah. Not as an owner.
Why not?
I just don't think it's right.
Nuggets Thunder games, it's not cheating to watch, Chewy. You could be staying up late and watching Nuggets Thunder. It's unbelievable basketball every night. I'm sure you're staying up and watching these games.
Well, even I'm not staying up and watching those games.
Who's going to win? Celtics?
I mean, it's not going to be easy. I think the Knicks win tonight, but I was all over the Celtics winning game 5, just like when you lose your star and you're coming back home. But Celtics reminded us they're really good even without Tatum. They were 10-2 this year without Tatum. So tonight's going to be a great game. This will be the most electric Madison Square Garden will have been since 1999. So like the biggest game of the century in Madison Square Garden.
Does the NBA feel more wide open to you than it has in past years?
I mean, it is. It's so wide open just because it feels different because this year it was kind of commonly accepted. There's only 3 teams that are going to win. It's either the Thunder, Cavs, or Celtics. They were the 3 teams that were so dominant this year. And for two of them to be on the brink of elimination and one of them to be eliminated before we've gotten to the conference finals, I think that's why it feels that way. I mean, I think the year the Bucks won, like it proved to be like really wide open that year. And so there are a lot of years that happens, but I don't think we've seen a year where at the conference finals level, there's 3 just far and away favorites and they all could be eliminated in this round.
Craig, what's your take? What was your take on the Packers schedule? You think it was unfair?
Well, I guess why do people think it would be unfair?
Because the front and the back end.
No, I mean, don't you think it ends up like being so different, like what you think teams like last year? We thought the Vikings were terrible. Like the Vikings were like a given that they were a last place team that nobody like thought highly of at all. So like, I don't think we totally know what the schedule. I think people go a little too far on the hard.
But if
you're talking about the travel, I could understand that being unfair.
No, I'm talking about you want layups on either the front end or the back end. Okay? Because they got them on the front and then they got them on the back. So if this thing starts, because it always comes down to the end of the year with the Packers. And if they start 2-2, I think that would be fine. But when you got to play Baltimore and then go to Minnesota, that is the difference between maybe being the 2nd seed and being the 7th seed. Would you agree?
Yeah, but don't you think getting the Ravens, like if you're going to play the Ravens, don't you want a team like that? Or are the Packers not built for December and January as much as they used to be?
Baltimore. Baltimore's like, cold.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels to me like, you know, that Vikings game is setting up to be kind of like what the NFL did this year with, you know, they had the Lions and the Vikings ended up playing late. The Packers played the Vikings late. Like, I think that's just like, if you're a good team, they want to potentially set you up to be flexed and, you know, maybe they're playing for the division or maybe they're playing for a playoff spot. I just think that's a matter of being good. Like, you're going to play at least a good team, you know, down the stretch in those last two games.
I don't know. I just think they could have gave them Minnesota at home.
Yeah. Speaking of Minnesota at home, the Brewers have Minnesota at home the next 3 days. I'm hot on that.
You're hot on the Brewers?
Three huge games.
I mean,
yeah.
Are you hot on the Brewers' bats? Because the Brewers' bats aren't hot.
I'm worried about the Cubs' schedule in the month of May. And so the Cubs play the White Sox this weekend. They play the Marlins again. They play the White Sox again. They play the Reds. They have the easiest May schedule. So, like, the Brewers have to somehow look up and see the Cubs playing the White Sox and realize, like, all right, we have the Twins at home. We have to at least keep pace with a team that's playing against the White Sox. So, huge weekend. Brewers need to get at least 2 out of 3. They may even need to sweep just to keep up with the Cubs. And, you know, the NL is so good this year that I feel you have to win the division. So, yeah, May baseball matters more to me than it has in many years. These Brewers games are all big.
It's simple to me, though, Craig, if you want to talk about the Brewers, because their offense, we knew without Willy Adames, other guys would have to step up. But I mean, Contreras has started to hit the ball a little bit better, but you need Contreras and Yelich to start performing if you want that offense to have any sort of consistency, because, I mean, it's been the other guys. It's been Sal Frelick's been really good, and Bryce Terang's been really good offensively. They need the two guys that, you know, have been all-stars before to start performing like that.
Yeah, I mean, Contreras is getting there, but you're right. I mean, Hoskins is the only guy who really, you know, has materially, like, because Frelick started hot, but, and Terang, you know, is such a great overall or all-around player, but you're right. Without, I mean, unless Yelich gets it going and Contreras, I think you're right. You know, I don't see how they beat the Cubs, but both of them are obviously capable of getting going. So, yeah, so much attention on American Family Field this weekend.
Much attention on the Giannis sweepstakes here in Milwaukee and beyond. Josh, you told me that our friend Emmett Golden, who was on ESPN Game Night, had a take. It's a take. Craig, we want you to take a listen to it.
Hell no.
No,
hell
no chance.
No to the no, 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 chance. No, no,
no
chance.
No Giannis for Mobley. No chance.
No, no, now. No,
you're hanging up the phone on Giannis.
I'm hanging up the phone on Giannis. Evan Mobley, what is
that?
Oh, Evan. Evan Mobley's
Emmett,
like 24 years old. If you say, ooh, give me Darius and J.A., I'll do that. If you say, give me J.A. and DeAndre Hunter, I'm doing that. But Evan Mobley has a chance to be, and this is, I'm jumping out of a tree here. I might be talking crazy. If he hits his potential, he could be better than Giannis. Now, will he hit the potential? I don't know. Yeah. But I love, for me, and this is just my personal opinion, I love good young players a lot more than I do guys in their 30s.
All right, Craig, we know you're a big fan of Emmett and his work. What do you think of that?
I think it's great for Emmett to think that. That's wonderful. From the time I've been coming on this show, one of the first times I came on the show, I think there was like, oh, the New York Times, Giannis is leaving, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, Shams came out with a report that said Giannis may think about leaving. Like, well, I mean, this, I think around the country we get that's going to be a talk. I think in Milwaukee, like, we've seen this act before, and I just don't need to get on the trade machine. Like, let's just let Giannis be the same person he's been for the last decade plus in Milwaukee. You know, part of this community, family's here, his kids go to school here. Like, I don't think we have any reason to, you know, start firing up any kind of trade machines.
You don't think it's based on what other guys do on the team? Like Portis and Brooke and some of the other guys who have player options?
I think it's a lot based on what the meeting ends up being that happens every year between the team and Giannis. And it's not just one meeting, right? There's constant conversations. But I think Giannis wants to be a part of a team that's competing for championships. And what Giannis needs to see from the Bucks and wants to be a part of is a team that's competing for championships. And that's what this ownership group has committed to from literally the day this ownership group bought the team from Herb Cole. So it has been such an aligned partnership from Giannis to ownership, John Horst, the coaches we've had. Like, this has been one of the most aligned organizations, not just in the NBA, but in all of sports. Like, do you remember any time where it's like, oh, Horst wants this, but the coach wants this? Like, there's none of
no,
that.
No, it's
ownership
been good.
Wants this, but coach wants this. Giannis wants it. Like, everyone's aligned that they want to compete for championships. It's really hard when you have 35% of your salary cap in Dame Lillard that isn't going to play next year. So you got to be really, really slick to take 65% of your salary cap and try to compete for a championship. And so that's what the Bucks, that's the Bucks' homework assignment, because every year the Bucks want to compete for a championship.
What do we have to do? What can we do to get you in that meeting, Craig? I want you in that meeting when Giannis sits down with Bucks brass. You're part of the Bucks brass, technically.
No, I'm like the Wynwood. I'm not the brass.
But you're in the brass. You're there.
What?
Brass adjacent.
What's a... You're a Wynwood?
Yeah.
It's like Steve Wynwood?
No, like an instrument.
Oh, I thought we were talking
like
about...
Like a clarinet.
A blowhard? Like
they're playing trumpets and tubas and trombones. And
oh,
Craig's saying,
he's
the saxophone. Yes.
You said brass, and he thought this would be a cool, orchestra.
Yeah, but what the meeting's going to be about.
I
could tell you what they're going to say in the meeting anyway.
I thought that one could even tickle Big Cat over there, like me taking the word brass and going the instrument.
You think he has any idea what instruments are?
A Wynwood? What is that?
Again, Steve. I thought it was Valerie.
Isn't that a hotel chain, too?
Wyndham?
No, Wynwood. I think it is.
Yeah. I think usually when Chewy says, I think it is, there should be a percentage accuracy when Chewy says, I think it is.
Craig, are you aware that you cannot do drugs at work? Did you know that?
He's 100% right on the hotel, by the way. I Googled it.
There you go.
Wynwood Inn and condos.
Craig, what else can't you do at work? Do you have to wear clothes?
I don't know if Craig got the email. Did you get the email?
I heard about the email. I heard an email was going out. Was this related to the vape?
We did not get into why the email
I'm
was
uncomfortable.
Sent.
Yeah, because you're a suspect.
I wasn't here on the day it happened.
Right?
Gosh, that's what they all said.
You know who they all blame, Craig? I'm the text chain. First person they blamed.
Well, you need it for medicinal purposes, right?
I got glaucoma really bad.
Yeah. I feel like between your glaucoma and your concussions, if that helps, I think you could get a waiver. You could go to HR. I think you should go for it, too.
You've got the support of the CEO. Like,
I don't know if that would work in a state where it's not legal.
I just want to record that meeting of Chewy and Lisa, our head of HR, like having that discussion. That'd be awesome.
It'd be like the guy who sent the letter in explaining why he hadn't been to a Packers game in 4 years. And the Packers were like, cool story. No.
Craig, how many people you know at work here? Be honest.
Like at our office?
If we lined them all up and you came in, could you name every employee of yours?
Well, they're called teammates, but I could not.
Okay, that's fair. What's wrong with employees?
Again, we use a certain vernacular here at GKB.
Right, okay.
You've been a teammate for, pretty close to 20 years at this point, right? When did you and Craig start doing your show?
When he took me at my interview to Denny's. That's when.
A little moons over my hammy. It closes deals.
You act like it didn't work.
I mean, you think I'm still figuring out if I dollar value the lifetime of Chewy's relationship, if that breakfast was even worth it.
No, especially when you asked for my resume and I said, what's that? What's a resume?
Good trivia question. Who connected us for that breakfast?
I believe it was Eric, Michigan Eric.
Michigan Eric was there, but it's not like you knew Michigan Eric. Like, who connected us so that we so that like I could call you and we could meet. Like,
I have no idea.
Our numbers. Like, how do we get each other's phone numbers?
Give me a hint.
He is still a teammate today with GKB.
It has to be Wildy, right?
Negatem?
Who else did you know?
Not Wildy.
Negatem.
Not Homer, not Negatem. I'm getting guesses both on site as well as from you all.
I have no idea.
Who would it have been?
I mean,
they're still with the company?
That's what I'm trying to think. I mean,
Sam, I am Green Eggs and Sam?
Nope. You weren't friends with Sam.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you're just naming people that you didn't know until you joined the company.
I'm trying to think of people that were going this far back, still with the company.
This is like an extreme version of Reach You, by the way.
Okay.
Here's the clue. What are the three letters that are chanted when Giannis is at the free throw line?
One, two, okay, three.
That's funny. Now, that's a good pop. But
you should know.
MVP.
Come on, Chew.
MVP.
Okay.
Hold on.
Wait. Nope, it's not. Are even the bigger three letters in all of sports, even bigger than MVP?
Hall of Fame?
Nope.
Gabe, you're failing.
Gabe, again, do you know?
No.
I mean, letters that are bigger
it's
than
part
MVP.
Of the production.
NFL.
It's part of the production. Every time this person joins the Homer Hour.
TVV.
Tim Van Vorn?
There you go.
TVV.
No idea.
TVV.
No idea.
Tim Van Vorn, Fox 6 Milwaukee, was the original person who connected
Really? Us. Great hair. Unbelievable hair. Jealous hair.
Takes
That's what
to,
he has.
Takes one to know one.
I mean,
yes.
I typically think about how good of a human TVV is before his hair,
I mean,
but,
he
you know,
weathered,
to each their own.
But he weathered the mullet storm. Even when mullets were like, dude, what are you doing? Like, remember when they were horrible? They were in Billy Ray Cyrus, and then they were like, you look like a goon. TVV. Didn't even stare down, just powered through. Great hair.
Now
I'm uncomfortable.
No, that is, Jen, you have to admit, that's one of the best points Chewy has ever made. TVV just like said, you know what? Like, I'll work through those 3 or 4 years of awkwardness, maybe even 7 or 8 years of awkwardness, and I'll be on like the number one TV station with a hairstyle that's in no way socially acceptable, but he stuck with it. And it
awesome.
I don't agree with a single word that has come out of either of your mouths in the last 1 minute.
I just want to say, weathered the mullet storm is one of the best lines we've had on this program.
I mean, it's probably
going to
be the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
That was he'd be upset that I
he's
said
also,
that.
No, because he's the greatest human ever.
He brought Jen to Milwaukee. This whole thing wouldn't be together if it weren't for TVV. Chewy wouldn't be here. Jen might not be in Milwaukee. Who knows?
TVV MVP.
So we need to have a TVV appreciation day on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy
think,
is what
yes.
you're saying.
Now that I can get behind.
You all need to wear mullets.
That I won't do.
Come on, Jen. For TVV, you wouldn't
Absolutely
do it?
Absolutely not. No.
TVV Appreciation Day?
100% TVV Appreciation Day, but I would lean towards the Gabe side of things, which is he was an incredible mentor. He was an incredible boss. He taught me so much. I'm not going to sit here and whatever the hell just happened over here. Like
we're saying
his hair
is awesome.
But you were saying it wasn't awesome for a little bit.
It weathered, you know, powered through. You ever see guys at the beach going, good for you. Good for you.
You're trying to save it, and you're digging yourself
deeper.
No,
I'm not.
Stop giving him the shovel.
No. You got a guy with a big boiler wearing a Speedo at the beach? Good for you. Way to go.
Right.
Terrible comparison.
TVV is not worried about your, like, oh, this is this of the moment.
Yes.
This is trendy. This is out of touch with reality. Tim Van Vorn is going to be secure in his hair. And he's secure in himself, and that's why he is beloved, and that is why he is the human that he is.
Me and you have just become best friends.
Yes, I agree. And TVV is our third amigo.
Yes.
Right. Mr. Fantasy weighing in on the YouTube stream saying, can we get this guy on the show so we can see a pic? How do you not know who Tim Van Vorn is? Banned.
Yeah.
He got banned. This guy, Mr. Fantasy, banned from the text chain. I feel very strongly about Tim Van Vorn, okay? I'll go to war for Tim Van Vorn over here.
But you won't wear a mullet for him?
No, because I think it's... No. I don't think it's...
Almost got sucked in. He almost got you there.
Almost. No, I will not. We got to take a break. desperately. Thank you, Craig.
Bye.
I thought Chewy was the only
love
one
you,
who could
Chewy.
Absolutely
love you too, buddy.
Run us off the rails. But it turns out...
No.
Shocking.
Have you listened to that show?
What show? His?
Yeah, on Sundays?
Quite the accomplice you've got there, Chew.
We gave TVV credit. Gotta start looking at a little blame, too.
What happened?
What?
For this. For everything we've done here.
He created a monster?
Correct.
Dr. Frankenstein?
Yes.
We'll take a break. Be right back after this.